Welcome to Timeless Truths. Timeless Truths is a ministry of the Kitchener Baptist Church in Kitchener, Ontario, and features the preaching and teaching of Pastor Jerry Burns. Our prayer, as always, is that this program will be a blessing to you and that you will find God's hope and help for your life. So join us now as we discover God in His timeless truths.
A tiny little boy stood in tears on a busy street corner. What was he doing here? As he tried to explain, all he knew was his name, but it was late and beginning to rain. So I asked him about the place where he lived. He remembered the old church where the big cross was lit, and his eyes opened wide as he said with a smile, "If you can get me to the cross, I can find my way home.
Show me the cross and I'll find my way home. Show me the cross and I'll know
familiar, and I found myself lost. But I remembered the place where I first saw his face. I cried, "Lord, get me to the cross, and I'll find my way."
And I'll find my way home. Show me the cross, and I'll know where to roam. When I'm there beneath the cross, I'm no longer lost. Show me the cross, and I'll find my way home.
I saw five pastors come and go at our church. And I can tell you beyond a shadow of a doubt that the problem was never from without. It was always within. Pastors don't leave churches because of problems without. It's because of problems within. And you know what? Pastors have problems without. I mean, our buses have been shot at with BB guns. I wouldn't think that that was a saved person that did that. I remember when I was, I first became pastor, and I maybe was a pastor for a year. And there was a man that started coming, and maybe you remember this. There was a man that started coming to the church, him and his mother and two young boys. And they were faithfully coming to the church Sunday morning, Sunday night. And they were sweet people. They were kind. They were gentle. After every service, they were super nice. They would always come, and the kids would line up. And they would be very expressive to thank me for the sermon and how it changed their lives and how wonderful that it was. And, you know, I was just thankful to the Lord that, you know, my first year pastoring, this couple was coming, and I was excited to try to help them and be a blessing to them. As the days went on, the gentleman, the man, came to my office, and he had a tape with him. And he said, "Pastor, I wonder if you could do me a favor." I said, "Well, that depends on what the favor is." He says, "I have a tape here of a recording, and I'm wondering if you could listen to it and sign this paper." And I thought about it for a moment, and I said, "Well, I'm not going to sign anything. The Bible teaches me that, you know, with a multitude of counselors, there's safety, and I'm going to get some counsel on that." And so I took the information, and I talked to some people. It comes to find out that the man, the only reason why he was coming to the church was because he was, you know, he was being kind, he was being nice, but what he was trying to do is come to that moment where he could ask me to sign this affidavit that basically stated something about his ex-wife and his children, and all he wanted me to do, and that was his entire motivation from the very beginning. The only reason why he came is he thought that maybe because I was a young pastor or whatever, this guy will sign this paper and I'll get my way. Boy, was he mad when I told him I wouldn't sign the paper. And boy, was I discouraged after. You know, the devil knows how to discourage the preachers. The Bible says here, and this is often because it says in verse 28, beside those things which are without. The structure here of the Greek is interesting because Paul is stressing the within more than with the out. You think of this giant list of what Paul went through, the beatings, the shipwrecks, all that he went through, and what he's saying is beside those things. I want you to know that what hurts the most is the care of all the churches. That was a burden on Paul's life. Now notice what he says in verse 29. He says, "Who is weak? Am I not weak?" Now I don't feel this way, and I don't want you to think that I do. But I think a lot of people, when it comes to a preacher, they just don't think that preachers have feelings. They don't think that it's almost like people think that pastors are not human. You know, Paul says, "Am I not weak? Do I not feel? I'm a man like you." He says, "Who is offended? Am I burn not? Am I not a man? When you cut me, don't I bleed?" Paul is saying, "If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern mine infirmities." You know, the Bible says in this passage of Scripture that the things which are within, Paul says, was this great burden upon his life, the care of all the churches. Who is weak? Paul said. Am I not weak? I want us to think about, from this scripture here, the good fight. The Bible doesn't say the ministry is easy, but it is honorable to do the work of God. And let's even move away from ministry, full-time ministry, pastor. Let's talk about serving the Lord in any capacity. You know what? There are people here who, over the years of ministry, have been hurt. You know, I've been hurt. You invest your life in someone and they walk away. Listen, that hurts. I mean, that hurts. That's discouraging. You become disappointed. And sometimes, even to the point where you think about quitting. But the Bible teaches us to continue on, because if we keep on sowing, we will reap in due season. We need to keep on serving the Lord. It's a good work. It's a God-given desire. And then let me give you here, it's an ordered work. It's an ordered work. The Bible here gives to us the qualifications here of a pastor. It says in this passage of Scripture, a bishop then, so the thought there then is therefore, so because it's a God-given desire and because it is a good work, we see that God puts high attention to the qualifications or the guidelines for the man of God. And right away we see in verse number 2, the Bible says that the man of God, he must be blameless. Now, this is a different word that is rendered in Luke chapter 1 and verse 6 and Philippians chapter 2 verse 15. This is a different Greek word than both of those words. The idea here, blameless does not mean that the pastor is to be perfect, because guess what? Every single pastor is a sinner saved by grace. But the thought here that he is to be blameless is talking about the fact that he is to have no charge morally against him. That's the thought of this passage of Scripture. He is to be one that is blameless, to have no charge morally against him. And then the Bible says in verse 2, he is to be the husband of one wife. Now, there are those who believe that this passage of Scripture teaches that a pastor is to be married. If he is to be the husband of one wife, then that would mean he would have to be a husband, and therefore it would also mean that he would have to be a married man. And I looked at this passage of Scripture, I read what other people had to say, and there are those who believe that. And I'll give you my opinion in just a moment. The structure here of the Greek word means to be a one-woman man. That's what the structure here of the Greek structure for this expression, a one-woman man. And remember that within the Roman society at this particular time when Paul is writing, polygamy was everywhere. And men had many wives. And so when we think of the structure of one woman man, this is what I believe. By the way, if you interpret Scripture that way and say that the pastor has to be married, then he also has to have children. And where does that end? You can't read into what the Bible is saying by what the Bible doesn't say. Okay, that's a dangerous way to interpret Scripture. We know he's to have one wife. He's not to have multiple wives. And the Bible also teaches you can't serve two masters. So why would he want two wives, right? That was a joke. That wasn't a part of my sermon. God just gave me that, just like that. He's to be a one-woman man. I think two thoughts. Number one, he's not to have multiple wives. Number two, listen, I think he's not to be a womanizer. I think he's to be a one-woman man. I think he ought to focus on his wife and his wife only in a sex-crazed society where, you know, you think of some pastors in more of the liberal circles and some of the things they teach and preach from the pulpit. I mean, people would blush in some of the things that are said. And the Bible makes it clear that I think a pastor is to be a one-woman man. He's not to be a womanizer. He's to have one wife and one wife only. Thirdly here, now verse number 2, he's to be vigilant. Now, the thought there is to be temperate and to be sober. A minister is to have a watchful care over his own conduct. He should guard his life against sin in any form and be very careful. Be very careful of what of what could be said. Let not your good be evil spoken of. And so he's to be vigilant. He's to be sober. The thought there is to be of a sound mind. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And so he's one that should follow reason. In verse 2, it says he's to be a man of good behavior. I think the best way to explain that in our terminology today would be he's to be a gentleman. He is to be one that is looking not to harm or to hurt, but to be kind and gentle to those around him. He's to be given to hospitality. He is to be a lover of good men, the Bible says in the book of Titus. He's to be one who loves people and cares about people. Hospitality is fundamental to the Christian faith. In fact, the writer of Hebrews said not to forget to entertain strangers, because you might be entertaining an angel unaware, and you don't even know it, but it might be a heavenly creature. And so he's to be one that loves people, and he's to be one that is apt to teach. And the thought there is to be able to teach. He's to be capable of teaching. He's not to be given to wine. It speaks not of just alcohol. And by the way, alcohol today and the amount of alcohol and the putting together of alcohol is a lot different today than it was in Bible times. And the Bible says here he's not to be given to wine. It's not just alcohol itself, but that which is associated with alcohol. I'm very careful. And I say this very carefully. I'm very careful about being around people that are drinking alcohol. I don't want to be associated with that group of people, because when you think of what's associated with alcohol is the idea of partying and that type of scene. And so the Bible says here that a pastor is not to be associated with wine, but also it's spoken of what takes place over wine. Now, look with me to Proverbs chapter 31, and I want us to look at this scripture here. Proverbs chapter 31, it's talking about influence, and it's talking about two types of influences, women and wine. Women and wine are the two influences, and when you look at the end of chapter 31, it talks about the good influence of a woman who has a right heart and loves to serve God. But in this passage of scripture, in verse number 3, I want us to notice what the Bible says. It says, verse 3, give not thy strength unto a woman, nor the ways to that which destroyeth kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink. Look at this. Lest they drink and forget the law, and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. So, I mean, we all understand that alcohol impacts how we think, and it influences us in a way that is ungodly. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Don't be influenced by alcohol, be influenced by the Holy Spirit. And so the Bible teaches us that wine is not for those of influence. Wine is not for those of influence. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, the Bible says. It is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink. Why? Lest they forget the law, lest they forget direction, guidelines. And the Bible says here that a man of God is not given to wine, and the thought they are not given is not just alcohol itself, but the association of alcohol. No striker, verse 3. No striker. He cannot be good at bowling. He cannot be good. It means to punch. It means to punch. A pastor should not be one who gets in fights. Oh, that's just our pastor. He's down there fighting again. He's wrestling again. The Bible says he's not to be a striker. The idea here is that he's to be a peaceable individual. In verse 3, it says that he's not to be greedy for filthy lucre. His foundation is not to be gained. He's to be patient. It means gentle. It means kind. It speaks of his demeanor. He's to be a kind and mild individual, not a brawler. It speaks of one who is follows after contention. There are those within personality. You say, well, it's just my personality. Well, the Spirit of God is within us to overcome our personality. We're sinners, right? Our personality. personality is not always perfect. And so if we are contentious, listen, the Bible teaches us that nothing should be done within contention within the local church. And so a pastor is not to be one that is contentious, and he's not to be one that is covetous. The thought there is to love silver or money, to chase after silver or money. He is to be one, verse 4, that ruleth his house well. Again, if we want to interpret scripture that the pastor is to be married, it also means that the pastor has to have children, because he cannot rule his house well or his children if he doesn't have children. But we cannot look that deep into scripture. We have to understand that if he has children, he's to have them in subjection with all gravity. He should be a serious man at home, is the thought. He should be serious-minded. He is to be sober-minded. And he is to rule his own house, the Bible says. And he is to rule within his home. He's to rule his own home. And then the Bible says that the church is a family. And if he cannot rule within his home, how can he rule the house of God? Verse 6 says he's not to be a novice. This does not mean that he can't be young. It just means that he can't just be saved. He can't just be a Christian, because the Bible makes it clear that he could be given over to pride. And this is the direction, the condemnation of the devil. This is the same direction the devil followed after, is pride. And so the Lord says, don't allow someone who just got saved, and you know what, it wouldn't be wise to do that anyway. Someone gets saved, you know, one day he's saved, the next Sunday they're voting him in as the pastor. There's a problem with that church, I would think. But the Bible says, not a novice, lest he be lifted up in pride and follow the condemnation of the devil, the condemnation that destroyed the devil. And I want to say this, when God saw an opportunity for pride to be within Paul, he gave him a thorn in the flesh to protect him. And Paul, in his trial, Paul was able to talk to God, and God said, Paul, I gave it to you so that you wouldn't be lifted up with pride. And oftentimes I wonder, sometimes we have afflictions that come upon our lives to keep us humble, because God knows better than us, and God knows what we need. We know what we want. God knows what we need. Pride destroys Christians. It destroys homes. I've seen pride destroy homes before. It's destroyed relationships. It's destroyed marriages. And so pride is destructive. And so the Bible says, not a novice, we want to protect him from pride. And then the Bible says in verse 7, he kind of brings it all together, that a pastor is to have a good name in the community. It talks about those who are without. And it uses the same idea that Paul used when he talked about all of the trials he faced from without. It's talking about the unsaved. A pastor is to have a good name within the community. A pastor is to have a good name among the unsaved people, lest he fall into reproach or criticism. And let me say this, what is the desire of the devil? What would be the snare of the devil? It would be to destroy the church and to hurt the church. And so the Bible says, listen, a pastor is to have a good name within the community. He's to have a good name with those who don't know the Lord. He's not to be known in the community as the one that's, you know, starting all the fights and always contentious and full of pride. And he's not to have that type of reputation, because what's important is the Lord's church. The Bible makes it clear it's never about the man. It's always about his church. Because the reality is, God places pastors in churches, but God never, never gives to that pastor the church. It's always his church. The pastor will give an account of what happens as he oversees, but the reality is it's still the Lord's church. Let's pray together. Father, thank you again for all you've done. And we thank you for the guide that you've given to us, and help me, Lord, as I look at this scripture to follow you, Lord, with your grace and help. And Lord, I want to be a blessing to this church, and I want to be helped to this church, and I want to be used of you in a wonderful way in this place. And so, Father, I pray that you would give me wisdom, and I pray, Lord, for all of the pastors in our country that are preaching the gospel. I pray that you would protect them this hour. And Lord, if there's any that are discouraged, and Lord, even at this very moment, at the point of even quitting, Lord, I pray that you would help them, Lord, to overcome these obstacles in their ministry. Give them the grace, Lord, I pray. And I pray, Lord, that you would dismiss us today with your blessing. I pray in Jesus' name.
We're glad that you joined us for this week's program. Timeless Truths is a ministry of Kitchener Baptist Church in Kitchener, Ontario. We are a refreshingly conservative Baptist church that stands on the preaching and power of the Word of God. We would love for you to worship the Lord with us. We meet on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. and on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. for our midweek Bible study. If you would like to send your prayer request to Timeless Truths, we would love to pray for you and with you. You can email your request to prayer@kitchenerbaptist.org, or you can reach us by mail at Timeless Truths Radio Ministry, 1720 Glasgow Street, Kitchener, Ontario, N2N0A7. Once again, that is 1720 Glasgow Street, Kitchener, Ontario, N2N0A7. If you have been helped by this ministry, we would love to hear your story. Call us at 519-579-2236 or connect with us through our website at timelesstruths.ca. There you will find beneficial resources and hear more helpful messages from Pastor Jerry Burns. We hope that today's program has encouraged you. Pastor Burns has served at Kitchener Baptist Church for almost 10 years. If he can be of any spiritual help to you or your family, please let him know. Thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time when we open the Bible and discover God in His timeless truths.
It's Pastor Jerry Burns, and again, I want to thank you for tuning into our program this Lord's Day. Our society is in a crisis. The Bible teaches us that it is God's Word that will make a difference in our lives, and yet our churches today have turned away from the Bible. The Bible has been replaced with entertainment, and we have left, thus saith the Lord. I want to invite you to a church that still preaches the Bible. At Kitchener Baptist Church, we'll have a time of singing, and then we'll open the Word of God, and we'll see what God is thinking about. We'll see what God cares about. We'll see what God has to say to us. I hope you'll join us this morning at 10:30 at Kitchener Baptist Church. God bless you.